Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Wednesday, March 2nd. Welcome to Menace to Sports, Menace in the Morning. Boy, we got a show for you today. Not a whole lot to talk about in the sports world, a little bit though. A couple things we got going on. It is March Madness. What are we, like 2 weeks away from March Madness, the tournament kicking off, play-in games and all that nonsense will be, I think, 2 weeks from today, right? But that's going to be exciting. March Madness is the best. I don't know about you guys, but we might need to do like a Menace in the Afternoon from a local sports bar or something like that.
Yeah, no, I'm with that.
Take the setup over to Yogi's or somewhere here in Columbus, or Revelry Tavern. Those are my two favorite spots. If you need a spot to go, Yogi's and Revelry Tavern. I know both of the owners, so they're in. They didn't even know I was doing that. So it's not like that was a paid promotion or anything, but they're great spots. So maybe I'll have to reach out, see if they want to do a Menace in the Afternoon live during March Madness. Will be fun, but we are doing Menace Madness.
Mm-hmm.
And then we named it Menace Madness Bracketology. Menace Madness is kicking off. Here's what it is. $20 buy-in. Half the money is going to go to our charitable benefits, right? The Zone 6 Fund, and I actually might donate some to the actual Earl and Gene Bruce charitable benefits. I don't know exactly how I'll split it, but either way, the half of the money will go to charity. The other half will be split 80% to the winner, 20% to second place, and then depending on how many people we get in, we'll definitely pay out third place. You'll get money back. You'll get your 20 bucks back, but we might go all the way to fifth, seventh. I mean, if we get enough submissions. I mean, I definitely would like to, maybe we'll pay out the top 10.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, trying to raise money for charity, but at the same time, the more love you show, the more we can expand it. So 80% to the winner, 20% to second place, and then money back to third and more, maybe up to the top 10. So it's going to be fun, man. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I love March Madness, and I don't really watch college basketball. I watch every now and then the Buckeyes, but other than that, I watch highlights. I listen to Aaron Torres' podcast, which is my go-to for college basketball. But it don't matter, man. My daughter won a bracket 1 year, and it's like she didn't even know what the hell the words were. So none of it matters, man. It's March. It's madness.
Absolute
insanity. So we're going to do that. And if you want to do that, all you got to do is Venmo $20 to Cameron Media. Mm-hmm. We'll put your email on the list, and then as soon as the brackets come out, boom, you're on it. So if you don't want to forget, go ahead and Venmo $20 to Cameron Media, and we will get that cranking. Also, we will be doing our squares for March Madness, where you get a square, and that square is going to play. We don't change the squares. Once you get your square, you get your square, because basketball doesn't. It's not like football where 7 points, 3 points. I mean, it's literally all squares matter.
Hey,
Chris, it is Women's History Month. All right,
yeah,
relax.
Yeah, no, I've been going and telling everybody. I didn't tell them yesterday because I still think that we deserve 30 days as Black people, but I'll stick with 29. It's fine. Yeah. And I walked into one studio and I was like, the one country lady, I was like, happy, women's whatever month, Sarah Kay. And she was like, yeah, this one's for us, not for Black people. And I was like, okay, I take that back. Or I'm going to celebrate this month, Black History Month too, because we have March Madness.
And here's what you do, Chris. It's really simple, right? The first 2 days of March are Black women history.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it should be, right? You didn't get, they didn't give 30 days to Black people.
Shout out to my mom.
Right. It's Black women's history.
Yeah.
Days. Mm-hmm. It's not a month, but for 2 days.
I thought you were going to tell me to identify as a woman for the first 2 days, and I was like, oh, well, God.
Sometimes I question, never mind. No, so it is Women's History Month, so shout out to all the women. And being that it's Women's History Month, what better way to start the story, the show off, than last night? Last night was a movie on Twitter, and Twitter can get like that sometimes. And I think it's important to note, those of you that follow along, if you didn't follow along, no big deal, I guess, but, so here's what happened. I you know, been tweeting out all these big plans coming up, because I've one huge thing that's launching now March 11th. Get ready for it. I put out a teaser video today, Wednesday. But here's what it is. I think I've already explained it, but I've been kind of doing side training just to kind of work on everything that I teach, everything I do, and also give back and help some of these high school kids get better around here in the, you know, Columbus area. Not only Columbus, I mean, I have a kid from Dayton, a kid from Cincinnati. So these kids from Ohio are driving in. So if you're interested, reach out to me. I'm training high school, and I'm going to start a middle school group, mainly because my son is in middle school and I want to start training him some. So, you know, I'm going to open it up to other middle school age kids. So if you're interested in that, reach out to me, Zach@menacetosports.com. Because that's already happening. I'm doing that, but I'm trying to do that and reach a greater audience, right? And so I'm creating an online platform for athlete development where you can go. It's a one-stop shop, and you get like doctorate level information, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's drills, motivation, videos, teach tapes, it's going to be everything, and it's going to be awesome. It's already almost built. Don't sign up for it, but I mentioned it. You can go to zone6.com and right now and look at it. The charitable side of it is not built yet. The development side, the shell of it is built. The back end is pretty much finished. We just got to finish the shell, the front page, and then we got to start uploading some of the content. But it's going to be awesome. I'm really excited about it. So I tweeted all that out, and a woman that I don't really know, I mean, I'm very familiar with her, but Rachel Joy Barabo. Mm-hmm. She's the founder of I'm Changing the Narrative. She does unbelievable work going around. She's what I call a real warrior against social injustice. And you have to say that nowadays, real warrior, right? Because there are so many fake warriors or grifters is what they are, right? They take something that's so emotionally charged and serious and they monetize it, right? Or they just push the narrative to weaponize it, right? And so she tweeted, or in support of me and the platform, and said like wishing you luck, did like the king emoji, like and I was like, thank you so much, it means so much coming from you, or whatever I said. And then immediately,
right off the rip,
I mean, my ex-wife was livid, right? Livid. How could anyone support this man? And it's really hilarious to me, because it's never the people that just want to see someone else fail at everything in life. They're never the ones that are telling the truth. Mm-hmm. It's never the case, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I wish my ex-wife all the happiness. I hope she gets married, has a great relationship, is rich as hell, gives my kids the best life ever when they're with her. I really hope that for her. She cannot say the same. Anything I do, if you support it, she'll come after you. She's a fucking wolf coming after everybody. So
She was going in. I'm sitting back like,
But I'm not here to talk about her. I don't like talking about her publicly. She'll do something that I have to comment on. But she went after this poor woman, Rachel Barabow, and it just wasn't fair. But then they all started coming out, right? It's like vampires. Like the sunset, one vampire walked out and saw a human and sunk their teeth in. And then they all came and sunk their teeth in. Annie Apple, my favorite, Brenda Tracy, came out. And it's hilarious.
Not Brenda Tracy.
It's hilarious because now Annie Apple's deleted her Twitter. I don't know why. I think Menace Army had a thing to do with it. They said something about like the only abuse that Zach's related to was watching Eli at practice with Mike Thomas. Or, I mean, just, and I guess Annie Apple doesn't like me because I said Mike Thomas is undefeated against her son in one-on-ones. I'm sorry, it's true, Annie. I know the truth isn't always your favorite thing in the world because it destroys everything you believe in. Kind of like,
man, you're being nice, man. Eviscerate Eli right now.
But I mean, it's just hilarious, right? Because the American, she is so anti-America, like the American dream, and this country is so screwed up. Meanwhile, she's an immigrant family. Her son's a millionaire. Her brother's a millionaire. The American dream. She's no greater example than her family. Maybe not her. She hasn't done shit. But her brother and her son are the American dream. They came over. They didn't come over here. Well, I guess her brother did. Her son was born here. He's born American, but they came over here as immigrants with next to nothing. And the story of Michael Blackson and their family is just, it's outstanding. And just the success that he's achieved. And he's a millionaire. Like, he's wealthier than you or I probably ever will be. Right. Think about that. That is the American dream. How could you hate the place that afforded you that dream? It's just mind blowing to me. And I know she said she was abused. You know, I for one hold out all judgment on any situation because I don't know. I'm not saying she wasn't. I'm not saying she was. But I do know this. Actions a lot of times reflect what you've actually been through, right? If you were actually abused at some point, you know that should shine through, right? That happened and you grew from it. You're on this path, and I don't even know. I'm gonna research more because she was supportive, and I feel bad now, Rachel Barabow, because I don't know her entire story. I've listened to her a bunch. I was in her spaces last night listening to her talk, and she's honestly like it's magnificent. Like when she talks, it is excellent, and so I think she's outstanding. But people like Brenda Tracy really, they get on my nerves. And I've talked about it with Jussie Smollett. I've talked about it with several things. When you are pushing a narrative devoid of truth, when the truth doesn't matter, only the narrative matters, you are the enemy of that narrative, right? When you are fighting for, let's say, sexual assault, against sexual assault, but you are taking false accusations of sexual assault and championing them and parading them around, you are, in fact, destroying the fight against sexual assault. And that's what Brenda Tracy has done. And I would love to have a very, very civil conversation on this show. I would love to have her on. It would be very respectful, very civil. And it would be outstanding.
No, I agree.
To expand her message and really fight domestic violence and sexual assault. I think it would be outstanding.
Yeah, like, let's talk about it. Like, we're going to put our money where our mouth is.
It's that simple, right? I promise you I will be able to raise $10,000 to donate to whatever charity she wants. Mm-hmm. If she comes on the show, that's it. And Chris will moderate it. He won't let me be an asshole. Sure. It'll be that simple. Bring Brenda Tracy on. Let's talk about it, Brenda, because I want to hear her point of view. I want to hear, you know, her stance on the matter. I want to hear how she believes we could institute change, but I also want to talk about false narratives and how she feels about those. And we don't have to talk about my situation if she doesn't want to. We can leave that off the table. I'm just curious what she thinks about false accusations. So
1 hour, $10,000 to a charity of her choice.
Simple as that. And maybe more. I'm actually going to launch a GoFundMe where you guys, Menace Army, you can donate $10, $5, doesn't matter. And just watch that balance grow. It'll sit there in the GoFundMe account until she comes on. And when that balance gets big enough, man, we might have a hypocrite on our hands, right? Because if you told me, I'm passionate about father's rights. That's one thing I'm passionate about, right? I think good fathers deserve the right to have equal custody, which I have over equal, but a lot of them don't, right? And it's a major fight, major battle. I'm passionate about that. If somebody said, hey, come on and talk for 1 hour with us and we'll donate $10,000 to father's rights, I don't care what you did. You could call me a motherfucking bitch. You could call me anything in the world. I'm going on for an hour to get that money for a cause I believe in. And if you don't, you're a hypocrite. Simple as that. It's not going to bring any notoriety to this platform. This platform's bigger than anything she's ever dreamt of having. So it's only going to expand her brand and bring money and notoriety to her cause. So Brenda, the challenge is on. Come on, Menace to Sports, and let's talk about real domestic violence and real sexual abuse. Let's discuss it, and let's actually fight for change and not fight for you to go speak places to get paid, because this money will not go to you or your charity. This money will actually go to your charity. It will actually go to somewhere that is instituting change outside of your platform. So that's the challenge. It'll be real interesting to see, because if you're a hypocrite in one sense, you're probably a hypocrite in everything else, right? If you are pushing lies to fight a narrative, who's to say that anything else you've ever said or done is the truth? That's the question.
Heard. I do want to get to football, Zach. Rod asked a question yesterday, and I wanted to touch on it maybe today, unless you want to get into it on Friday's edition of Spaces. Slot cross versus slot fade, and then I want to move into combine talk a little bit. So,
yeah, I don't know what that is. I mean, you know, here's the problem. You get people on social media that want to have conviction when they talk about a concept or a play or a defense. And so they use words like slot cross. Like, slot cross could mean anything. I mean, I've never heard of that concept. I think I might have saw the clip, but it could mean 100 different things. And the two plays I saw in the clip, one was a slot fade, the route, I don't know the concept. It's a route. It is where the slot receiver runs a route where he gets vertical and then get widens to catch the ball where an outside fade would be caught, right? That is a slot fade. It's a route. Again, you could marry it with any concept. It could be built into any concept in the world. Maybe not any concept, but it can be built into a lot of concepts. And it's a route. It's a great route. It's a way to feature the slot and man coverage on a lesser cover guy, especially one high man coverage where the post safety is in the middle field and he's working away from the post safety. So it is. It's. I guess it's.
And it's a lot of space. That's a lot of space to cover out there too.
A lot of space. I mean, there's countless examples. Curtis Samuel scored a number of touchdowns on that route. Paris Campbell scored some. It's Percy Harvin scored a bunch. I mean, any slot that we ever had scored on that. KJ Hill scored on it. The slot cross play was a full field read where the slot ran like an over route. I don't know, or a cross route, I guess you could call it. That's not what we called a cross route. Cross route was full field getting across the field, but it doesn't matter. It's all verbiage. And you got to be careful of people on social media that say stuff like that. Like the slot cross concept was outstanding for them. It's like, what?
When you throw concept behind it, it just makes it like, you know, well, like, yeah. Got
and
it.
Here's the problem, and maybe I should do more of this, but like when someone that actually knows very, very high level of football, they don't present it like that, right? Mm-hmm. There's a difference between someone that is trying to sound like they know what they're talking about, and so they talk over your head, and someone that actually knows what they're talking about, and they try to bring it down to layman's terms to help you understand it, right? That's the difference in knowledge, actual knowledge, and perceived knowledge, or someone's trying to project that they are knowledgeable. So, and I'm not trying to take a shot at the person that tweeted that. They may be very knowledgeable. I don't know.
I don't know if you're familiar with James Light.
No, I'm not. I don't know who that is, but he might be great. I'm not knocking him, but I'm just in general. I've seen it on Buckeye Scoop. They do it really anyone that wants to talk about high level football, you know, content. Mm-hmm. A lot of them try to talk over your head so you believe like, wow, this is awesome. This guy's brilliant, and really like they didn't explain anything. When I read it or see it, it's like, you didn't really tell anybody anything about that. Yeah. Like, and that's not what happened. That's my favorite part. When I'm like, it's like, oh, they ran the Okie front double eagle blitz. And you're like, what? And then you watch it. You're like, that's four down. And they stood up at the end and he rushed. That's just base defense. What are you talking about? But they say it in a way that it's like, oh, I need to learn this. Write this down. Okie. I got to remember that. That is Okie. And it's like, what is Okie? I don't know. I mean, I've heard eight different names for an odd front. Which an odd front is where a guy lines up over the center and two guys line up somewhere around the tackle, right? That's an odd front because there's three of them instead of four. An even front is four. Like, but that's why we called it even and odd, but I've heard it called oaky, odd. I mean, you name it. It's been called 100 different things. So that's all I'm saying. Just be careful. Be careful. I guess be careful worshiping false gods, right? Be careful taking those people's words at face value, because a lot of times they're either inaccurate or not exactly what it is.
Yeah, no, heard that. It looks like a basic deep crossing pattern that he kind of broke down. We'll get into it soon. I mean, some point down the road when we have more time to kind of sit and prep on that.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to work on next year. We're going to be doing, you know,
more tape breakdowns
where we take the top five plays of the game and break them down. And I'll tell you exactly what's going on. We don't need to call them slot cross or slot fade or Okie X blitz or whatever. I'll just explain exactly what it is. And I won't use big words that you don't understand. I'll make it really easy. I'll teach it to you like I teach it to a freshman that doesn't know football at a very high level, which is, you know, that's 99% of fans, which is good. And fans, there isn't really a platform to expand their knowledge. That's why I think what Dan Orlovsky does is so good, because when he breaks down film, he talks to you and explains it like you're not an 8-year quarterback NFL vet that knows football at a very high level. He explains to you like a fan because you've never been in those meetings. You haven't learned football at that level.
Heard that. I do want to talk wide receiver, Zach. I've talked myself into thinking that Chris Olave is going to have a hell of a combine. Like, the more I think about kind of the player he is, I think a team's going to fall in love with him in the top 15. I think seeing he's going to run.
Here's what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to catch the ball really well, number one, first and foremost. He's got to run well, but I think he will. I think everyone knows he will. Obviously, if he runs exceptional, it will only help his case. But he's got to catch the ball well. He's got to show up and have a good weight to him, whatever that is, whether it's 195, whatever it is. He needs to show that he's put on some weight and he can still move. Because that's going to be a question. Although durability wasn't really an issue with him, despite him being smaller. And in the in the NFL, there hasn't been a ton of value on not being a thin wide receiver. I mean, there's guys like DeSean Jackson, who obviously is extremely electric, but they get away with being slighter. So I think that's the two things. He's got to run well and test well, but I think he's capable and will do that. And then he's got to catch the ball really well, not only in drill work, but then it's really behind the scenes, right? It's not only the combine is really for testing. I mean, they do position drills, but they're awful. They really are. I mean, you find it. You can see a couple things. And if a guy obviously drops a bunch of balls, you can see that. But it's those individual workouts where you really, the teams really find out, you know, how good the kid is at certain skills. Those one-on-one workouts, pro day and combine, it's tough, right? Like if you're the Dallas Cowboys, let's say you're the Cleveland Browns, you're looking for a receiver, right? What if you're not running the receiver drills and someone from the Bears is, and he runs three or four drills and you're like, I'm not a fan of those. They didn't really show me what I was looking for. That's where the one-on-one workouts come in, where they fly the kid up or they come down to Columbus and work him out at the Woody Hayes. That's where that stuff really, really is impactful. That's where Ezekiel Elliott shot up the charts to what, third overall, I think.
Fourth overall.
Because the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, he was going to be a top 15 pick, but the Cowboys came in, worked him out, and were, I mean, floored. Mm-hmm. Whoever the GM was at the time looked at Urban Meyer and they were like, he was like, I think this kid is, I don't think he's great. I think he's a Hall of Famer. Like, that's how good they thought he was. So that one-on-one workout shot him from, I don't know, 10th overall to 4th overall. And that's what it is, right? You're talking about Chris Olave could be the 26th pick or the 13th pick, depending on those one-on-one workouts. And obviously, he's got to test well.
Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be top 15. I think the combine is going to be his best friend. I think he's going to look really, really smooth in all of his drills. And it's going to be like when NFL.com or NFL Network, whatever, takes a look, they're going to be like, wow, like look at his hips. He's, you know, so smooth, so fast, everything looks effortless. I think he's going to run in the 4.3s as well. I just think he has everything you need for a team to fall in love with him. And these scouts, they love the combine warriors, the guys that look comfortable. And I mean, you're going to get these nerds that are like, oh, wait, like this kid's really flying. This looks so effortless. And hips are a big thing that you can see without the pads on, especially.
Well, I think he has good hips. This kid's resume is far bigger than what the public knows, right? Mm-hmm. These scouts, they go into the Woody and they sit down and they study practice film. They study one-on-ones. They see his complete array of routes he has run and can run and how efficient he is. They see far more than we see in games. Because let's be honest, I mean, you have three great receivers, a good run game, good running back. Chris Olave didn't employ his entire repertoire of capable routes in his career. He didn't. I mean, he ran a lot of routes. He obviously played a ton. But there's stuff he did on practice film that's going to be indicative of how of the stuff they can ask him to do in the NFL and he could be successful at that maybe we didn't see at Ohio State. It also could be offensively. And Ohio State's pass game is pretty extensive because Ryan's employed an NFL style scheme. You know, back when I was coaching with Urban's offense before Ryan came in, I mean, our offense was pretty limited as far as route tree and what guys actually ran. And so that's where the one-on-one workouts were huge. Like, we didn't run speed outs ever. We didn't run speed cuts ever. But they do it in the NFL. So teams had to see how good a kid could be at those type of routes, right? And it's far, far more extensive than that. But it's just the reality of it. Those one-on-one workouts, man, it's where you make a ton of money or you lose a ton of money.
Would you say that that pro day matters more than the combine?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay, I was just curious. I know that, like, you know, getting thrown to and kind of being in that situation, I was just curious.
I mean, it doesn't hurt, and it certainly can help. But the NFL loves the combine because of what you just said, the unfamiliarity, like the adversity that it presents, a different place, different quarterbacks, like different timing, like all those things that can be a reality in the NFL, right? You may have to go to Lambeau Field when it's, you know, -3 degrees and perform. So, like, just because when you're at home, you're comfortable and your college quarterback's throwing to you, yeah, I get it. That's comfortable. Like, you're really great there. That's great. That means if you go to the Dolphins and it's a sunny day and the quarterback you've been practicing with, you'll be really good. What about when you go to New England? Are you still going to be good? Like, that's where the combine comes into play. And the combine always, I mean, you'll see it. You'll see it. Almost every single kid that doesn't run a 40 that he likes will run a better 40 at pro day, but no one will talk about it. Now the scouts will, they'll see it and they'll be like, oh, well, the kid ran this, but it's not laser. It's all hand timed. And they just don't put as much weight in it because the combine is like, no. The bright lights are on, man. You're on the stage. Show me if you show up when you're on the big stage and the spotlight is on you. And that's what the combine provides. And it's no different than going to a high school football game versus going to practice and evaluating a kid. Like, yeah, he looked great in practice, or he looked great in our camp. Let me go watch him play. When it's competition, like games on the line, what's the kid do, right? Mm-hmm. Does he have that internal, like, fire? Where it's like, yeah. And you see it all the time, right? Guys will go to the combine and pop a 40. You're like, whoa, that's faster than he's ever ran. Why? Because he's so competitive and wants it so bad. He has that drive that when the bright lights are on, that sumbitch popped. Mm-hmm. And that's the kid you want.
Yep. Something of note, this will be when Pro Day rolls around, it'll be Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson's second Pro Day because they participated in the Pro Day last year and scouts were geeking out about them last year. And you know who else was part of that Pro Day that didn't really get talked about as much? Jameson Williams.
Yeah.
So he was a part of that Ohio State Pro Day that Justin Fields throwing those three. There was a question about Drake London. Drake London's a good player. My concern with Drake London is that he struggles generating separation. So a lot of times down the field, he had to rely on his frame and size for things. And personally, I think the most important thing for wide receivers is, can you generate separation? And then can you make, you know, combat catches?
Yeah, the most important thing is ball skills. When it comes to receiver, the most important thing is ball skills. Covered or uncovered, you have to have great ball skills. The second most important thing is absolutely separation. And I agree. He has phenomenal ball skills, great size, great, you know, length, great hands. Mm-hmm. But separation is going to be a knock. And that's why I think he's a step below Garrett Wilson. I really do. But I think he has that asset that is very valuable to the NFL.
Yeah. Someone asked, did you recruit J-Mo? Yeah, you recruited J-Mo and Chris Olave. I actually have a cool picture of you with Chris Olave back at I think he was at his high school, you and Ryan Day.
Yeah.
So
I recruited all three of those kids. The only kid I didn't recruit that has played to date, I mean played significantly, is Jackson Smith and Jigba. I didn't recruit him. I had Garrett Wilson committed, Jameson Williams committed, Chris Olave signed. I recruited all three of those kids.
Mm-hmm. Zach, my boy Michael was in here yesterday. He sent a tweet out. He said, I need someone to talk me in or talk me out of betting my money to take Ohio State win the national title next year.
In women's basketball? Oh, in football.
No. Oh, yeah. He's in. It's time. Like, Michael, if you're listening, I'm not a professional gambler. Like, that's not my job. But if you need someone to talk you in, Ohio State's going to trot out there this year with the best quarterback in football, the best running back in football, and the best receiver in football with a much improved defense, I suspect. And the defense doesn't need to get a ton better, just a little bit better. And I think it'll be similar to that 2019 LSU team, maybe a step back. So that's where I'm at with that one. That's me talking him into and betting some money on them winning the national title next
year. Yeah, I mean, you got to think, right? Ryan Day right now, and not that you're never not motivated to win a national championship, but it's time.
It's boom or bust. You absolutely
it's time. Have to. I mean, he's been on the doorstep a couple times. He needs to do it for a number of reasons. One, to get the monkey off his back, right? Mm-hmm. And to solidify Ohio State in that conversation with not Bama, but everyone else, right? Georgia, Clemson, those other teams that have won one in the last five, six years. He needs to do it. And on top of that, I'm telling you, people didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to believe it. They didn't like it. But losing to the team up north was probably one of the best things that could have ever happened to the 2022 Buckeyes and their chance at winning it all. It created an edge, the offseason that it created, everything that it did for this 2022 team is outstanding. And no one wanted to.
We got backup quarterbacks talking shit.
Right. And it's, you know, that's all well and good. It's all fun and games, but it's what's going on at the Woody right now. I mean, the amount of time, extra time that's being spent because of the chip on the shoulder, the embarrassment. On top of all that, you got a bunch of guys that played for the first time that are going to flourish and really grow. I mean, if anyone saw I think it was a Twitter live or whatever it was, someone sent me a screenshot of it. Travion Henderson, he's starting to look like a college player. Like, that kid looked like a high school, his body looked like an elite high school body last year. He's going to look like a college football player this year. The amount of weight he's going to gain, explosion he's going to get. He's going to be more explosive. Can you think about that? Imagine that. He's going to be more explosive than he was this past year. He's going to be heavier. He's going to be able to carry more of the workload. It's going to be
Justin Fry. And he's got Justin Fry.
And he's got a new O-line coach. The O-line's going to be better. I mean, it's in the making. And so, yeah, I'm going to lay money on it. I mean, and I never have. For the record, this is not some homer pick. I have never laid money on Ohio State to win the national championship ever. And even our handicappers put it out 2 years ago. And I don't think this team's quite there yet. And there's a lot of question marks on defense. A lot needs to be done. But like you said, they just need the 2019 LSU defense. And they're going to have a chance to take home the hardware. They really are.
Pissed off, hyper-motivated with elite, elite talent. Zach, that's all I need for that. I don't have anything else today. Do you have anything else you want to hit?
No, that's it. That's all I got for you. Look out for the GoFundMe. We're gonna try to make it a fun thing. And you know what? If she doesn't come on and the money gets up there high enough, we'll still donate it to a domestic violence charity. I mean, obviously that would still be the where the money goes. We'll have to figure out a different way to do it, but we'll figure out a way. And you know what? Maybe we'll invite Rachel on the show at some point, and she can tell us. Maybe we'll donate to her cause. I don't know.
Yeah. That's a good idea. That's a really good idea.
So I think that there it is. If Brenda Tracy wants to come on and talk, we'll donate it wherever she wants. If not, I'll invite Rachel on. We'll probably ask Rachel to come on at some point anyways, whether it's, you know, whether we donate money or not. But I really respect her work, and so maybe we'll put that money there. So we will launch the GoFundMe page. We might even pick one of these boards or charities to raise money for that also, because we're all about instituting change. I think everyone knows that. We're all about donating money to institute change and improve the world. This absolute ridiculous world we live in. Just awful. And I don't know if you guys watched the shit show last night. I did not. So that's why we're not going to talk about it. Also, I've been told so many times, stick to sports. So gotcha. We'll stick to sports. That's all I got though, Chris. So appreciate everybody. We got hometown hero tomorrow. Still need some candidates for that. Mailbag on Friday. Drop your questions. Shoot them to Chris. Shoot them to me on Menace to Sports social media pages, or leave a 5-star review on Apple and drop your question there. We will get to those on Friday. Appreciate everybody. Menace out.